Before we get to the episode, I just want to make a special announcement. Bernie and I both thought it would be a great idea to choose a photographer from the listening audience who would like to win 5 weeks of free coaching sessions on how to utilize Facebook ads and selling strategies to get more photography clients for your business. Bernie has agreed to do this completely for free, even though he normally charges for his coaching services. So this is your chance to work with a guy who really knows what he's doing. So the winner will receive a 1-hour Skype call each week for 5 weeks as Bernie coaches you in detail on how to bring your photography business to the next level. And in 5 weeks, he'll teach you how to get clients, and not just any clients, but the right clients. So this translates to dollars for your business. And again, completely for free. So we've decided to keep the process simple. If you want to be considered to win, simply send me an email at info@prophotographerjourney.com and tell me why you want to learn Facebook ads for your business and why you want to work with Bernie. Again, that email address is info@prophotographerjourney.com, and also mention why you need to learn better selling strategies for your business or why you want to bring your business up to the next level. So we'll be taking entries from March 29th through April 5th, and then we'll choose the person with the best answer. Simple as that. Also, there's so much info in this interview that I decided to split it up into two parts. So this is part one. Part two is coming next week. All right, let's get to the episode. Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with Bernie Griffiths. He ran a successful photography business for over 40 years and is currently a photography business coach to fellow photographers. And I've said it before on the show, that's one of my favorite types of people to talk to because they know the business side of photography in and out. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shamira, and thanks for inviting me onto your show.
Of course. And, you know, just for our listeners' benefit, I was telling Bernie that I've had my eye on him for a while. I've listened to him on other photography business podcasts, and I've been meaning to extend an invite. And so when he reached out to me, how could I say no? And so here we are this morning, had a little bit of technical difficulty in the beginning. That's life.
We're up and running.
We are bound and determined to make this happen. Yep. So, Bernie, your experience is impressive, and your ability to really break down the things that photographers struggle with and offer solutions. Mm-hmm. And so before we get into the interview, can you give us a brief background of yourself and how you ended up doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, quite simply, I was born in England, small town. From a very early age, I had a box Brownie camera, photographed, film, processed, printed in my parents' bedroom. And it just came from nowhere. It was just I was born to be a photographer. It was as simple as that. I never found it too difficult. It was just, you know, some people are born, they're musicians or they sing or they... It's sort of like, in a way, a calling. So I had no choice. My destiny was set. And I just progressed with my journey. At 15, I left school. I was a press photographer for a while, taking photographs for the local newspaper that had just started up, a new newspaper. I worked in a lot of labs, developing and printing black and white because there's no color in those days. And then one day, for some unknown reason, I set a goal. I wrote it down to be a successful photographer and to see the world. I had no idea where that came from, but it was written, so it would have to eventuate. And that was my first introduction to goal setting and how important it is to write goals down. And from then on, I had a goal book, and I achieved 90% of what I wrote in that goal book. But then I thought, well, see the world, I'm going to have to get out of my little town. So I applied for a job as a ship's photographer. And within a short while, I was traveling the world on a ship big cruise liner, P&O Lines, traveling around the world as number one photographer with three photographers under me. And I was 23 years old, living the dream. So that was it. That was the big adventure. But the ship went to Australia as part of its cruising, and I saw Australia liked it. So I made a decision when I was in Sydney for one last time on the ship that I would get off the ship when I got back to Southampton in England and emigrate to Australia, which I did within 6 months. And then I set another goal, which was to open my own studio, which I did within another 6 months. We bought a studio that had been going for 2 years for $500. And away I went and started my journey. And that studio I had for not that same building, but the business for 40 years as a wedding and portrait photographer.
My goodness, you know, one thing that really stands out to me is how focused you were from the beginning. I think you said the phrase, your destiny was set, so to speak.
I had no choice. It was that simple. Like most of us, as we go through life, we sometimes think, is this what we should be doing? Is this for me? You have some uncertainties. And so I tested those uncertainties and I did divert. And I got a job, interestingly enough, as an encyclopedia salesman going door to door selling sort of encyclopedias. And I did it for 2 or 3 months and I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun knocking on the door, and the excitement of seeing who would open it was always interesting, especially when I went to a particular area and people would sort of open the door and say, "Are you here on your own? Why are you walking around this neighborhood on your own?"
Oh
I'm
no.
going, "Well, I don't know any different." But I wasn't sure whether this was my path or whether I wanted to get back to photography. So I talked to the manager, and the manager said to me, "Bernie, I can make you a very good salesperson. You can do well within the company, or you can go back to photography. It's up to you. I'll give you 10 seconds to make a decision." And I walked out after 8 seconds and went back to photography. And that was it. That was my journey. And it's still going, of course. My journey is still going. I'm still coaching photographers, talking to photographers every day, almost 24 hours a day with the time zones. So, it was a destiny. I was born to do it. A lot of photographers, of course, are in other industries. I've known photographers, they've been doctors and solicitors and all sorts of different paths that they've walked, and they thought that was where they wanted to go, and then they suddenly discover photography and feel that's the direction they want to go. And it's great that they start the journey. Not everybody succeeds, a lot fail. And that's what we're going to talk today about, all the blockers and the things that stop you going forward. And the photographers out there, well, we're going to talk about it, but we talked about it earlier. And you said you know all of these blockers.
I do. Looking at, we're going to talk about the big eight blockers, and I have hit every one of these blockers. You know, I've made it no secret on the show that I've made just about every mistake that you can make with photography, and so many of us, we step into photography thinking it's going to be unicorns and rainbows, I like to say, in that we don't realize what we're getting into. And for me, it's 80% business stuff, meaning marketing, communicating with clients, follow-up, and it's 20% actually taking photos. Now, when I stepped into this, I didn't know, and I've shared this before on the in the past episode, so I mean, I'll keep the explanation short, but when I got into photography, I initially thought I was walking into an interview for a helicopter magazine. Now, it was for choppers, which custom chopped motorcycles is what I found out. But I had no idea. It was 2009. Our American economy had tanked. I needed a job. And I'm thinking, I can do helicopters. Yeah, you know, that's cool. And I walk in and I'm like, what are all these photos of bikes on the wall for? And, but, you know, I was up front and then I knew nothing about motorcycles, about choppers. But They hired me for my print experience, and we ended up doing our own photo shoots in-house. And so I got to see firsthand professional photo shoots, a team of people working together. I bought my own camera, started working with them, and that's how I got started. And then when I eventually left, I decided I wanted to do photography on my own. Now, little did I know, there's a huge difference between working as a staff photographer with a salary job and then going out on your own. And, you know, I've gotten emails from listeners and feedback and talking. So many of us struggle with running a business, and in particular, the big eight blockers that we're going to talk about today. So let's just dive right in, and we're going to touch on each of these eight. And also, if you can offer solutions to these eight as well, that would be extremely valuable too.
All the solutions, by the way, are in the photographer's head. So they have to look inside of themselves to overcome these blockers. I can't, we can find a mentor, and as a coach, I encourage and support and do all that. And the great thing about what I do, I see breakthroughs. I see people breaking through a blocker. And they go, fantastic. Sometimes it takes a long time, and sometimes a short time. So that's the exciting thing. So, yeah, let's look at them individually and sort of see if we can help photographers out there to move forward. And that's what it's about. It's about moving forward.
Let's get right into it. What would you say is the first?
The first one, and mainly the only one really, is fear, because we all have fears. Mm-hmm. I don't like fear, right? But I know that the only way to overcome it is to confront it. So I've flown thousands of miles in helicopters and small planes and big planes and whatever, and always had a fear of flying, a fear of heights. So many years ago, about 15 years ago, I decided to overcome the fear and confront it. So I decided to do a couple of, to jump out of a plane, basically, with a parachute. Solo. Oh, it wasn't attached to anybody. It was just myself. And in that training, you go through a lot of things like, why am I doing this? You know, I could die. But the only thing you learn is 10 seconds. You learn to make the decision to pull the reserve chute if the main chute doesn't open. So that's all you need to know, right? But it has to be automatic. You can't think about it too long, because otherwise the ground stops you from falling.
Right. which
you don't want. So it was overcoming this fear. So I did it, and I was, you know, nervous and whatever. But I did one jump successfully and didn't land that well. So I wanted to go back and do another one to see if I could perfect my landing, and it wasn't that good. But you go through all these fears, and that's the way I was overcoming. And that's the whole point that I'm trying to make, is to overcome your fear, you have to do.
You do. And, you know, even just looking at what you sent me, the notes with these big eight blockers, one thing really stands out to me, actually. You mentioned that within the realm of fear, there's a fear of getting too busy.
Yeah.
Now, I find this interesting because with myself, and I've noticed with others, when you have a fear of getting too busy, you almost start to self-sabotage yourself.
Yes.
Have you noticed
It's called
that?
Overwhelm. And I've seen many of my clients who've been in that position, and they just get so overwhelmed. But it's important they go through that, because going through that, then they will learn how to overcome it. If you don't experience it, how can you overcome it? The same with, you know, all fears. You have to confront them.
Absolutely.
I'm a little bit different in the way my mind works. My wife says I'm a little bit strange. But so I've done a lot of seminars, and the way I plan a seminar is this way. I think of a title, I set a date, and then I work towards it. So I have the end ready. I know where the finish line is. So I put the finish line down first, then I can go towards it. Then I can do all the planning towards it. Most people get tied up in planning it, making it perfect. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? They like everything ready before they announce the event. But if I say I'm going to do this seminar in New Zealand on this day, then I have to do a lot of preparation for it. We have to do the mail out. We have to do this. We know we've got to do it. So that's the motivation. We've got no choice. If I thought about it, I may never do it.
I don't know if you realize how huge that is, Bernie. Maybe because that's the way your brain naturally works. But I've seen, and again, I've done this where we start a photography business and we don't know what the finish line is, or we're not even aware of milestones even. I mean, you were a goal setter apparently very early on in life. But what I've learned is that many of us, and I just want to stress this to our listeners, we have to sit down and really plan what we want the finish line to be. And this can be in the form of how many clients we want a month, income goals. I see photographers who don't know who their ideal client is or who they want to work with. And so they say yes to everybody, and then they get overwhelmed because they're working for peanuts, they're not charging enough. And then you get too busy, and then overwhelm, and everything comes crashing down. Like I said, I've been there. So I love that you're really emphasizing that we should know what the finish line is and to work
Yeah, and
from
it is
there.
amazing, you know, that photographers are so bad at keeping numbers. I was
Oh,
so good at
yes.
keeping numbers. Every portrait sale, I'd write down as soon as the customer left, the door closed, I'd go to my book, write the name, date, the amount of the sale, and what they bought, and any comments. So I had this running
Wow.
sheet that I could look at, and every time I went to write an entry, I'd just review it and see how I'm going, and I could see how my sales were going. You know, if I'd just done a $1,000 sale and I look above that and it's a no sale, and I look above that and it's a $500 sale, I'm getting some mental picture of where I'm going. And each week I'd just rule off that line, and add up the totals and do an average sale for the week. So with having weekly, and then you have monthly, and then you have quarterly and yearly, etc. And if you set some goals, if you know what your average order wants to be, then you know where you're going. If you have no idea, you just no idea. Well,
Yes.
I liken it very much like this, and this is what I explain, how I explain coaching is basically, the photographer is captain of a ship. Now the ship is the business, so they're in control of the business. And let's face it, most photographers nowadays tend to be solopreneurs. They just do it all on their own. There's one person. So they've got all this stuff to do. So there's the ship, their business, they're the captain. Problem is, they haven't set a destination for the ship to go in. So it just gets blown this way, blown that way. They read something in a forum and it says do this, someone else says do that, and so it's going this way and that way. But they don't know where they're going anyway. So what I say to my clients is, what we do is set a destination. I call that destination the island of gold. That's money, right? So because that's what the business is about, making money.
I
So
like
we've
it.
got a destination, we've got a direction. They're the captain, they're on the ship, I'm the navigator. So as they go on the journey, I can implement marketing strategies to push them along a bit faster. I'm the wind in the sails. But as we go, they might say, "Oh, I saw this article, or I was speaking to so and so, and I thought it might be good if I photograph, you know, kids, and we do this." And I'd say, "Hang on, that's not going to take us in the direction we want to go." "Oh, okay. Oh, I've got a good idea. What is it? Tell me about the strategy. How does it get us to this island of gold?" "Oh, no idea." "Okay, well, let's not do that then." So it's a matter of focus, and that's a good word, focus on where you're going. And that helps alleviate a lot of the sort of fear, because if you know where you're going, certainly you feel better within yourself. And when you see successes, you know, so when you look on your charts and you see you're getting closer to your destination, it's really exciting and motivating. But if it's not defined, how can you get excited? And so that's what we do is with my coaching, we do weekly consulting, and then I get monthly numbers, and we talk about sales all the time. So the first thing on our Skype session, my clients will say, "Okay, Bernie, I've got the numbers." And then I go, "Wow, that's what I want to hear." We got, because the numbers are the tracking, right? Your sales are the tracking, the number of sessions, the number of weddings, all of that. So you've got to have that. That's probably will alleviate a lot of fears if you've got that. You've got a plan. How good's that? That's cool.
And you know what I love about this, Bernie, is that with all of the number tracking, your clients are able to hone in on what they need to make to get to this island of
Yes.
gold, to be profitable. Now, I've had photographers, local ones, reach out to me asking what I charge. And I'm fine having a discussion about what I charge and why I charge it, but I'll be honest, it gets under my skin when the photographers are just clear that they want to base their pricing off of mine, or so that they can make it even a little bit less. And I often tell them, well, you don't even know if I'm profitable. I could be
Correct.
eating, boxed macaroni and cheese
Yeah.
every night. And if you're going to charge something, you need to know why you're charging what you charge. When we as photographers know how much we should be charging, not just to live off of, but to make a profit and a living and to get to the island of gold, it does a service to the entire industry. To the entire industry for charging what
Yeah,
we're worth.
that just deflects you, you know. That's one of the things, comparing yourselves to others. I never did that. There was no reason to. I don't compare myself to others. I'm unique. We're all unique. We're all little individuals. We've all got our own little quirks and funny ways and fears and strangenesses, and we are. There's a little thing I've got on my inner circle group, which was a Facebook group that I set up. And on the banner it says, "You are enough." And we are enough. Each as individuals, we're enough. We are all we need. But we have to find what we've got inside to take us forward. And it's so exciting, because why it's exciting for me, you never know your potential. You know what I mean? That is so exciting. You just don't know your potential unless you can find a way to bring it out of yourself. It could be
Absolutely.
enormous. And that for me is the exciting thing. Working with photographers is seeing them achieve things that they never thought they could, but they had a plan to. So yeah, don't compare yourself. Don't compare your prices. You can get some idea of people's prices, but the thing is, as well, with pricing, why are you asking? Are you asking, why do photographers want to know other photographers' pricing? Is it that they got the magic wand formula, or do they want to know what the other photographers are charging in the area so they can charge less? You see, my mentality was different. I wanted to be the most expensive. If you find out other photographers' prices, charge more than they are, not less. Be the most expensive. Be the go-to photographer. Set yourself up as the photographer, and you can be. I mean, you know, there's so many stories that so many photographers out there, you know, people like Sue Bryce. I mean, when Sue Bryce first left New Zealand, we did the first seminars with her. I facilitated that. I put them on in Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne, and Sue was going on a journey. She didn't quite know where, but there's one thing she knew. She knew she was going big somewhere. And once she started getting the momentum a little bit in Australia, then she just, you know, headed for the States. And of course, just an amazing
Exploded.
story, an incredible lady. But there was something about her that was totally focused. You couldn't talk, you know, she knew. She'd just brush you aside if it wasn't in her focus. So you've got to be like that. So that's great. It's within all of us, and all photographers out there listening, it's there. Go find it. Look for it. You'll find it.
Oh man, this is really good. This is really good. And we're only on number one. Let's hit number two, the second big blocker that photographers face.
Well, change, you know, who likes change? People don't like, because it takes them out of the comfort zone, right? Change is going out of the comfort zone. They don't like to do things that they haven't done before. You're getting to habits, bad habits, a lot of the time. So you have to change those habits to good habits. And change.
So change as far as how we run our business or how we edit our
Yeah.
photos or what we
Be
charge.
open to change. And the one thing, when I did those two parachute jumps, as we were doing training in the room, there's a little sign in the far corner. And during the lunch break, I went up and looked at it. And it said, the brain is like a parachute. It functions best when it is fully open. So our heads have to be open to change, have to be open to possibilities of change. And you have to change a lot of things. As you said, as a photographer, we're not just taking photographs. We have to learn about selling, we have accountancy, we have to do marketing. We have to do all of those things. Those are outside of our comfort zone, but we have to change to learn to embrace them.
And even just to share a super quick story about change. So I moved to Port Huron a little over 2 years ago, and when I did, I decided to change my photography focus. Previously, I was working primarily with families, and like family photography, senior high school stuff. When I moved to Port Huron, I decided to change my focus to businesses. And I love working with businesses because they often have an exact plan, like a marketing plan of how they're going to use those photos. And so one of the big changes, so that was change number one, that talk about terrifying trying something new. But then number two, even just the way that we did the sessions, the businesses actually prefer that I come to them as opposed to people coming to my studio. And so that was a change. In that I had to learn that coming to, say, the hospital, oh goodness, the first photo shoot I did with the hospital, did not sleep at all the night before. So nervous. But I quickly learned that they saw it as a service, actually. And so that one little change was huge because they knew they could call on me. I would come to them. When you're trying to flag down doctors and surgeons, good luck trying to get them to your studio. But if you show up where they are, then that makes all the difference in the world. And so just little tweaks to the way that you do business can be a huge plus, a bonus, especially if it's a service to your
And
clients.
it's not easy. I had a client in New Zealand who's an excellent wedding photographer, a master photographer, had a business a long time. And I said to her, because she had a nice home studio, I said, "You should do newborns." She said, "I hate doing newborns." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, all the newborns I've done, the babies have got played up." And I said, "I think we should just give it a go again." Because she had a nice personality for that sort of work. So she did one, then she did two, then she did three. Then 3 months later, she said to me during a Skype session, she said, "Bernie, I really, really enjoy doing newborns." I said, "Great." And
Imagine that.
imagine that. And the fact was, as well, that the wedding photography market was diminishing, so she needed income. So this was a way. So once I got us doing thinking portraits, then did newborns. We did a lot of other things as well, families, kids and pets. And so that change was enormous for her. But once she did it and started to embrace it and told her head, "Stop saying those things to me. Stop talking to me like that. I like this. Stop saying I don't like it. I do like it." So you have this little argument with yourself. And totally different person, different attitude. It does take time to change, though, sometimes. Sometimes it can happen quickly. Sometimes it takes, it's that light bulb moment you need. Sometimes it just goes, "Oh, yeah, now I get it. I love it. Yeah, that's fantastic." With me, I always look for change. I'm fortunate because my wife's on the same wavelength, and we can change. We can live anywhere. We just move around as we want, only do what we want when we want. So, as we said, I am living the dream. And it's interesting, if I can just say this, because it's one of my philosophies, and I think it may be important to a lot of people. I told you a story of my brother, the happiest person in the world. I know no other person happier. He says this, he said, we'd sit on the back veranda of his garden in Queensland. He said, look, I've got everything I want. He said, look, beautiful day. Look at the garden. The sun's out. Beautiful, warm day. He said, I can buy any car I want. I can go anywhere I want. I can just do whatever I want, whenever I want. Now, when you hear that, you think that he's a very rich man and that he's got plenty of money. He's on the pension. He doesn't have much money, but he doesn't want. You know the key to that about we get obsessed with in our life about we want this, we want that. And it's mainly financial that we want, and that puts us under enormous pressure. And we want. But if you change your want, that you don't want quite so much, or that you want the right things, which are within you, how relieving is that? So that's the way I feel. I can go anywhere I want. I can fly first class if I want. But what if I don't want?
And then it all comes back to really looking inside yourself.
Yeah, and then you can move
yourself
a lot quicker and a lot better at doing that. So, and that helped you with what we're talking about, with change. You can change, but you have to change the things in your head first and sort things out. One of the keys to having a successful photography business that I've learned over all my years as a studio owner and all my years as a photography business coach is stability in your other life. In other words, you need the support of others. I'm not saying you can't do it if you haven't got that, but it makes it a lot easier if you've got a stable environment behind, because you need somebody to hug and celebrate that great portrait sale, to open that champagne and celebrate, and someone else, you know, when things aren't going so good, to give a hug and say, come on, we'll do this. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So that's very important.
It sounds like we need balance, right? Because I've known, not just photographers, but in any business, or even employees, or, I mean, it could be anyone, and if you're chasing the money and you think that's what you want, and then you get it, and so many people are miserable when they have no balance, or they have no friends, or they're lonely. They can have all the money in the world, it can't buy you relationships, it can't buy you, you know, your health.
There's a lot of difference, because I chase money in a different way. It's not about the money. It's about what you get as you go towards it. You get success. That's a well-being feeling. It doesn't matter about so much about the money. It's the challenges that you overcome in going through that journey. And, you know, we have to remember that success is a journey, not a destination.
Absolutely. Hence the name of the show, right? The Pro Photographer Journey.
Exactly that. It's a journey. So if ever we get to that, or will we ever get to that island of gold? We may decide that we go somewhere else and have a holiday on our journey. So it's just like that. And this just makes it easy with all these blockers that we're talking about. If you can get your head around the whole thing, my motivation, I was fortunate. I'm self-motivated. I don't question. I need a bit of inspiration now and again. So I read books, listen to a podcast here and there. But I can't wait to get up in the morning and get into it, right? I'm crazy like that. I used to start at 5 o'clock in the morning when I had my studio, when I used to process color film and print it before 9 o'clock, when I had to start shooting. And then I'd work, you know, late nights. And of course, I had an understanding wife and understanding two kids who are quite understanding too. But that was the good thing that I was able to do, because when I was doing outdoor shoots on a Sunday, which I used to, then my wife would bring the kids to where I was and we'd have lunch together. So she brought them to me. So I saw my kids, because my wife facilitated me seeing them. That was great. Coming to see Dad. Yeah, so it's a lot of things. So change, we want change, don't we? We really do, because that's the way we'll grow, right? And we all want to
Absolutely.
grow. I'm still
Absolutely.
growing, right?
That makes two of us. So let's move on to number three then, the next
Yeah,
point.
analysis paralysis is one of the things that I
Yes.
find photographers doing so much. They want, if I had a dollar for every time a photographer said to me, "I'm a perfectionist," I'm a perfectionist, that's a big blocker. It doesn't have to be perfect. 8 out of 10 is fine. And what is perfection anyway? Is there anything perfect?
I'm racking my brain here.
Well,
I can't think of
you
anything
know,
that's
what's a 10
perfect.
out of 10? Is it perfect? Someone else could find a little fault with it. So
Yeah.
we shouldn't worry about getting it perfect, but let's just put it out there. Like with the post-production, I had a client I started off with, and she's a newborn specialist, and she told me it takes 15 hours all up with a newborn. You know, an hour for the pre-consult, 4 hours for the shoot, about 6 hours for the post. And I'm going, that's nuts.
Wow.
And she said, but I'm a perfectionist. I said, hang on. Let's stop this perfectionist stuff. She was doing all the post-production on all of the files before the customer came in.
Yeah, that can be time
Yeah, and then
consuming.
they wouldn't buy most of them. So she stopped that. I spoke to her yesterday, and life's so different. You know, she's got let go of this little of perfectionist thing about, oh, I've got to show the customer the right. Let the customer judge. I said, you could put two images side by side, one retouched, one not. And which one do you think the customer would like the best? You don't know, because I've had it where the customer said, oh, no, I don't like I like it natural. I like those things on his face or her face. Don't change them. So you've got to just put it out there and not think about you, but think more about the customer. With going forward. So analysis, overthinking things. As we've said, overthinking things without a destination anyway. So the boat's just going around in circles. It's not going anywhere. It's just
You
swimming
know,
in your head.
and that brings a story to mind for me, even with trying to figure out what the client would like, or
Overthinking. Yep.
overthinking the
Yeah.
editing, because I used to, in the beginning, I tried to retouch all the photos. And okay, I was just starting out, so of course I was
Yeah.
overshooting. So hundreds and hundreds of photos I'm trying to retouch. Fast forward to today, and I've learned, again, working with businesses, that they really like to see the photos, like in the back of the
Yeah.
camera. I mean,
Raw.
raw as raw can
Raw.
be. It took me years to get up the courage to ever
Raw.
show a client in the midst of a shoot, right, what's going on. But what I learned was that while I think everyone is beautiful, and I think particular quirks are wonderful, or I mean, I could take the most technically perfect, what I think, again, what is perfection, but close to perfect shot. But when I show the client during the photo session our
Yeah.
progress, they will often dislike certain photos or certain angles, where everyone says they have a good side
That's
and a
it.
bad
Yep.
side. And so I had to let go of my own perfectionism and show them during the shoot what they like. And it's made my life so much easier. I mean, I literally, you know, you can give your photo stars in your camera. I literally make notes and stars and all that, and I start that during the session, and the clients love being involved, by the way. And then when I get home, I already know what they like. It was the scariest and best thing ever, all at the same time.
It's scary, but the best thing ever. Yeah, that's a good way. Most things that are scary are the best thing ever because you see the results. It's interesting as well, you talk about overshooting. One thing that changed from film to digital, of course, we used to photograph weddings on Hasselblads and medium format, 120 film, 12 exposures. We'd cover a whole wedding, groom's home, bride's home, ceremony, locations, early part of the reception. On 12 rolls of film, which was 144 photos. Right? 144.
Wow.
And sell $6,500 albums. because we used to shoot for the album, of course. So just like the album was the destination, so we'd shoot for it. We'd know exactly where we were going, you know. So we knew what photographs we were going to take. So the first one would be the bride on Ra, and then there'd be the bride with mum, bride with dad on one side, bride with mum and dad on the next side. Then you turn the page and so on. Bride with each of the bridesmaids and bride with all the bridesmaids, turn the page, next spread, and so on. So it was all planned. And we had a shoot list, which actually had 101 photographs on it for my other photographers. They had to shoot this list. So it's planning, isn't it? We didn't get paralyzed with too much thinking. We just knew what we had to do to get the end result. So that's sort of planning.
And even just to touch on it's, I love that you, so for wedding photographers out there, working from a checklist is huge. It's huge.
Hard.
And it's required, right? When I started doing weddings, I don't do them anymore because it gave me gray hair. But starting off, I didn't have a checklist, and it was a nightmare because you have that constant fear that you're not going to get what your client wants. And if you don't have a checklist, you have no idea what they want to begin with. And so introducing a checklist beforehand and even having them understand that you're shooting for the album or that the album is the end goal, that makes sales so much easier.
When it changed more and more, I was one of the first to actually give digital files when they had, because they had the album anyway. But when people just wanted digital files, that for me was a big turning point, because I went on weddings and I really didn't care, because all they were paying for was a certain number of photos. I wasn't shooting for sales, I was just shooting an amount of photos. So I could have almost sent my camera on its own to the wedding, because it knew what to do. So that was very disappointing, because why would you give so much effort if you weren't going to produce this great product, an album, that they just wanted a certain number of files? It's quite soul destroying.
Yeah, and what I found is that many clients, while they have the best of intentions when you give them files, so they plan on getting them printed, oftentimes they don't. Or they get them printed down the street at whatever store, and there's a weird green tint on all the photos. And do you really want them hanging that up on their wall and saying that you did that?
It's you have to
So.
accept a lot of that, though. I mean, one of my daughter's friends got married and she was bridesmaid. I photographed the wedding. They spent $7,500 on their album, and they got the files, and they had some prints done and sent one to my daughter, you know, thank you, with a little 5x7 print. It was dreadful. It was pretty dreadful, but I just accepted it. They are what they are. I've never been sort of precious with my images. They're not mine anyway. They're the customers. They either buy them or they don't. So don't get too thoughty. Thoughty, that's a good word. I just invented that word,
Thoughty.
thoughty.
That's official.
Don't
Thoughty.
get too
I
many
like
thoughts
that.
in your head for analysis paralysis.
So, what is the number four block that photographers face?
Time. Everyone says, I haven't got time. I've got the
That's a
kids, I've
big
got to pick
one.
the kids up. Yeah, we've all got the same number of hours in the day. It's 24, apparently. It's just what we do with our time and what drives our passion. Like for me, I can't wait to get up and get stuck into my photography. You know, I'd always get to the studio at 7 or 8 o'clock, and as I say, when I was doing my own color processing, I'd get there at 5 o'clock in the morning. You have to create time. You have to make time. You've got time. It's there, but there's a lot of things you can get more time with, as you said, with post-production, which is one of the most time-consuming things. Don't stress over it. Do it the right way. Don't try and make every file perfect. You know, just do a batch correct of color and density to show the clients. Then you can polish them as well as you want. But don't. This is one of the things where you can find time. It's usually a post-production. The other thing, finding time also, as you said, if you overshoot, then it's going to take you longer to cull them. So you've got to be a little more disciplined to find time.
And even taking as close to a perfect, I'm doing quotation marks with my fingers, the closest that you can to a perfect photo in camera, I have found that that has saved me
Yes.
an immense amount of time. And even speaking to post-production, I had started, have started outsourcing a portion of the editing.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of photographers find that scary,
Yeah.
including me, because I'm such a control freak. But what I
Yeah.
found was that even sending out the photos where I have to do eye swaps or remove shine from glasses, there are photo services out there where they will take care of that for you. And then they send it back, and then I can bring it the rest of the way home,
Yeah.
style-wise.
Yeah.
Other photographers are totally fine hiring an editor and having them just handle the
Yeah.
editing completely.
Yeah.
And that has been a huge time saver
Yeah.
for me and for others too.
And you can plan time, and you need time for certain tasks, right? There's a software called harvest.com where you can track your time, and you only have to
Interesting.
track it for a couple of weeks to see where you're probably wasting time or spending too much time. So with the time, like you've got to do marketing, so you should allocate maybe Monday, 10 till 12 to do marketing. So at least you're going to know you're going to do it.
So batching those tasks where you can.
At least try it. I mean, I'm not that sort of person that structure suited when I tried it. The other thing with time, I used to have Thursdays off, and I've got another client in North Carolina who has Thursdays off. And he's only 10 minutes from the studio. And I said to him last week, "Are you ever tempted to go in?" And he said, "Yeah, I do pop in from time to time." I said, "Yeah." But he's got a fiance, Catherine. And I said, "Does Catherine mind?" "Yeah, she does." And I said, "Well, you've got to get
Oh.
up in the morning and drive out of town and find a nice restaurant and have lunch and just get away from it." So you can allocate your time as well, which you should. So you can compartmentalize, your tasks into blocks and do it that way. But at least try it that way. It may not work, but that's okay. It'll at least be a learning curve for you to learn how you can start to do it. I tell you what, the best thing of time, what the most time-consuming thing is?
What is it?
People who make lists. Are you a
Really?
list writer?
I am totally a list writer every single day.
Well,
I still struggle with time,
I'm not a
though.
list. I do it. Whatever I can do, I'll do. My wife says, "Oh, I must call so and so," and it's always tomorrow. I must call her tomorrow. That's another thing that isn't there, procrastination. I do it now. I said, "Just get on the phone and find her."
For those of us who write lists, then, what do you recommend? Because I always have this long, overwhelming list in my head that I feel like I need to do, and so when I write it down, it makes me feel better.
Yeah, but the task doesn't get done, does it? It makes you
Like
feel better.
three or four things will get
What
done
does
on a list of 10.
that list look like the following day?
Well, my list tends to get longer and longer.
Well, they do say with a list that whatever's left on it, that's your prioritized list for the day. That's your priority for the next day. And with lists, there's a well-known phrase which is "eat that frog," which is a book, and "eat that frog" means
Very good
do
book.
what you don't want to do first, get it out of the way. So that phone call you've been not wanting to do, just do it. And there's a way of doing that as well. And I forget the name of this person, but she does a blast off thing. She's something she doesn't want to do. She does a countdown: five,
Oh, I
four,
know who you're.
three,
Oh,
two, one,
I listened to
and
that
then do
podcast
it. Very
episode.
good. Yeah. So,
That's worth a try. She
and
said there was some kind of brain training involved in that too.
yeah, five, four, three, two, one. Hello. Yeah. Pick up the phone or jump. I haven't done a bungee jump yet, but I'm going to do that in New Zealand. And I know I've been working in my head. It'll be a countdown: five, four, three, two, one, jump. It won't be five, four, three, two, one. Maybe. No, you've got to jump. So, yeah, lists are sort of like that. But if you've got a list, next day, what's still on that list? prioritize it and do that first.
And it is the best feeling in the world when you get the most painful thing done first thing in the
Yeah,
morning.
eat
You
that
feel so
frog.
accomplished.
Eat that frog.
Yeah.
Eat that
For me,
frog.
it's sending out email newsletters. That's like, I just overthink it and I get myself worked up and somewhat dread it. And but when I get it out there, it's the best feeling ever.
Do you know it's taken me mentioning newsletters 9 months, and finally I got one of my clients to send a newsletter out, and it went out yesterday.
Oh,
9 months.
wonderful.
Every week I'm saying, so how's the newsletter going? Because as a coach, I've sent them all the information. I've just about written it. All I have to do is look over it and say, okay, Bernie, yeah, we'll do this. And they couldn't even do that. It's sort of holding them back. So, yeah, and now it's done. So sometimes, and now it'll be, they'll start moving a lot quicker. They'll do this every 3 weeks because they know how to do it. It's the knowing, isn't it? How to do it. It's that holds you back. And the time just gets eaten away with a lot of that, thinking about it. I suppose it's all action, isn't it?
It is all action, and I found that with newsletters, what helps me is when I get replies back or start booking more business from those email newsletters. And then I'm like, why didn't I send it earlier? The first one I ever sent out, I was in cold, like a cold sweat. I broke out in a cold sweat after I hit the send button. I was so terrified. And then within 5 minutes, I got a response back, and my list wasn't that big at the time. Not that it's huge now. And the person said, well, thank you for sending this. This was fun to read, and I'm looking forward to more. And I'm like, huh,
It's all you need, that
okay.
one encouragement. One encouragement. I've got a 10,000 list and the photographers around the world, and you just get that one. You get your unsubscribes. That's the other fear.
Yeah, and it happens. It
Unsubscribe. Oh,
happens.
people hate me. No, they don't hate you. They
Right.
just don't want to talk to you. That's okay.
It is okay. Sometimes they're overwhelmed. I subscribe from lists, unsubscribe from lists that I like the content, but I just don't have time.
Yeah, just
So.
get rid of the fluff. So time, you can plan for time. So you've got to work on it though, as well. The best way to do it is a good way to do it is get a yearly planner that you can put on your wall, and just put in the most important things first. And those are the kids. If you've got kids, the kids' holidays. Plan those first. I would say plan what you want to do in your life and then slot in some work rather than other way around.
That makes a huge difference.
So what you do, you get your kids together and around the table and say, okay, kids, we're going away in November for 2 weeks, this date. Where do you want to go? Let's plan it. So they'll get excited and they'll be your motivation. So you just cross that out your photography diary, and that's what you can do with the kids. So plan your life, and then the gaps put in your photography business
Definitely,
rather than the other way
definitely.
around. Oh, I haven't had a holiday in 3 years, I hear people say. Well, why not? I haven't had time. Yes, you have. You
You
just
gotta
haven't
make it.
planned.
Right,
So
right.
plan it first. Plan your holiday first.
And then another tip I've heard is that when you plan times away from your business, but to plan strategy. So I know photographers who'll schedule 1 week every quarter where they purposely step away from the business and let their mind work and brainstorm and like do business planning, but they're not doing any shoots or any editing or anything. And they find that to be so productive because then they return back to work refocused and with a vengeance, they get back to it and they're more profitable than ever, more happy than ever. All right, everybody, that's the first half of my interview with Bernie. Stay tuned next week for part two. Thanks for listening. If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.